So, okay. Then? 80. When by the disposition of his heart, he becomes indifferent to all objects, he obtains eternal happiness both in this world and after death. He who has in this manner gradually given up all attachments and is free from all the pairs of opposites reposes in Brahman alone. So someone who wants to get very serious about devotional service then has to be able to, or has to practice this aspect, that one is indifferent to all the different objects. So now, generally, when we think of indifference, which has been practiced in the past, like we see that, you know, the brahmacharis will be indifferent to the ladies, or devotees will be indifferent to their families, or you know, different situations like this, then we actually see it's not indifference. It's actually we're not attracted, so we dislike, like that. So it goes the opposite. It's actually we hate, but not on a necessarily a very very organized fashion or something, but it's the opposite. Indifferent means there's no attraction, there's no repulsion. So it's just a matter of if it's favorable to use in Krishna service or has something to do with Krishna service, then we deal with it. And if we don't, then we don't deal with it. Like that. That's the point. So then that is the position that one is dealing with. It's just one sees something, and one sees it in relationship to Krishna. And then if it's one's position to engage it, then one does. And if it's not, then one doesn't. In other words, what will be useful for one's service and for the pleasure of the Lord. So it says here, in this matter, gradually giving up all attachments. So this is a practice, it's sadhana. One has to work at this. One has to understand this and then gradually work for this. It says, then he is able to reposes in Brahman alone. So only that person can actually come to the Brahma-Bhuta platform. And only that person then can actually come to the, you know, go beyond the Brahma-Bhuta platform to the platform of prema. Because if there's any attachment or aversion in the world, then one will get stuck in the world. One will not be able to situate oneself on the Brahma-Bhuta platform. And without that, then one can't cross into the spiritual platform. I mean, one's on the transcendental platform, but on the actual platform personal reality. Where one moves into the realm of service to the Lord. And otherwise, one will just be in the brink, the tathasta point. It means we've come from there, and the difference is we've fallen from there from not knowing the glories of prema bhakti. Because we did not have any natural attraction for Krishna, then, I mean, we have it, but we didn't take advantage of it. Therefore, because the position is choice is there, no one's going to be forced. Right? So then one doesn't know, one makes one's choice. And because we're not having that natural attraction, I mean, not exercising any natural attraction for Krishna, then that means that there is, it's not aversion.
Indifference
to Krishna. So indifference automatically then turns into impersonalism. So that from that platform, then we become attracted by Maya. And then Maya then brings us into this world. So the whole process of devotional service, why there must be conscious, that's why it said Krishna consciousness. It means sometimes devotees, which is true in the beginning, if we just chant, we just take prasad, we're just with devotees, that's good enough. Because from that one will get purified and one will hear. And one will see good example. But at some point, one actually has to become Krishna conscious. That's what the society is made for. That's why it's named Krishna consciousness. It says, for Krishna consciousness. International Society for Krishna consciousness means that we're supposed to develop Krishna consciousness. So that means consciousness means conscious. So that means we have to know that we have a goal and we're trying to get to that. And we have to be conscious of that at all times, at all places. Then, when one comes to the Brahma-Bhuta platform, then one will not be stuck on the platform of indifference. One is indifferent to the material world, but one will not be indifferent to Krishna. See, the problem is tatastha means we're indifferent to the material world, we're indifferent to Krishna. But that indifference to Krishna creates impersonalism, which naturally then creates attraction to the material world. So this indifference is only useful in relationship to the material world. That's why the whole process, this whole process that the ascetic uses, this process of jnana, is only to get one to the platform of Brahma-Bhuta. Beyond that, it has no meaning, it has no purpose. It's done, right? Just like you have a knife. A knife is there, you cut the vegetable. Once you're done, you don't use it to stir the sabji and then serve it and then eat everything and then wash the pots with it and then clean the counter. No, it has its purpose, it's finished. You cut the vegetables, now you actually get into cooking. And when you get into cooking, it has nothing to do with the knife. So this whole process of becoming indifferent to all objects, that is for the purpose of coming to the Brahma-Bhuta platform. There's no other purpose. Once one gets to that platform, then this process of jnana has no purpose. It's done its purpose. It's happened. So then one takes up one, because one has been trained to know that love for Krishna is the goal that we're trying to obtain. Then we will go beyond that platform. Right? For on the platform of indifference, we may not go. If we see something, we become attracted to it, then we'll go the path of the acharyas. You know, we see the great acharyas, that they are serving the parshads, they're serving the Lord. And we see that, and we're attracted to that, and then this way we become attracted to Krishna, then we'll go that path. But if we just see so many things going on, we're in the pure state, we're not attracted, but we're not attracted to the material world either, one can't remain in that tatastha state, you know, very long. It's just not a state one can maintain. So then, from there, because the Brahman platform can't be maintained, right? So from there, one falls. So that's the whole idea is it's used as a mechanics to get one to that platform. But once one gets to that platform, then one has to know what the goal is and go beyond it. So it's just a stage in one's going, a momentary stage. That one has come now, there's no attraction in the material world, one has come to that. And then from there, one has gone on. Then from there, one goes on, like that. So this is the platform that one has been here. So this language here reposes in Brahman alone, means we understand it means when it comes to the Brahma-Bhuta platform, but the whole idea is one is going to go to the Supreme Brahman. So reposing in Brahman alone means is only if we're in Krishna. You can't just repose in only the Brahman alone, because that platform didn't work for us in the beginning. It's not going to work for us now, right? Like that, it doesn't work for anybody. One has to understand that this Brahman means the Supreme Brahman. 82. Okay. All that has been declared above depends on meditation. For he who is not proficient in the knowledge of that which refers to the soul reaps not the full reward of the performance of rites. So now this means everything that's been discussed before. We could take it meaning in the discussion with, in discussion meaning with just what has been discussed just immediately. Means this ascetic attaining to the perfectional platform, and just in the last few verses, it can be discussing the whole life of the ascetic, or it can be meaning everything that's been discussed before. Right? So we understand. So for most, they'll take just the aspect of this attaining perfection. Or possibly they will take the whole process of the life of a sannyas. But it means actually all the varnas, all the ashrams, everything that's been described before. Because that is daivavarnashram, is that you understand what is the position. In other words, the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes it, you have the hamsa. Hamsa means they understand they're not the body. And they understand that there is a, you know, the higher goal purposes in life. right? They're not interested in the material nature. But now, in that, we find that we have two bodies, the subtle and the gross, and those have to be engaged. So therefore, we see the nature of those bodies and engage them in the Lord's service. Right? So in other words, the Hamsa is the one who is actually performing properly the devotion, these activities of varna and ashram. Right? So the Hamsas come in two varieties. One that where they're detached from the material nature, one where they have the knowledge of detachment, but they haven't got the full realization. So then they follow the rules of the Grihastha Dharma and all this, and perform their activities there. But there's no interest actually in sense gratification. So all this actually replies before that, because otherwise you can't actually follow all these other things properly, unless you understand the knowledge of the soul. Like that. So the full reward of any rite is understood when we understand what is the soul. Who is the Lord? Who are we? What is the material nature? What is that relationship? Then you actually get the full benefit. And the full benefit means it detaches us from the material nature and attaches us to Krishna. That is the real benefit. 83. Let him constantly recite those texts of the Veda which refer to the sacrifice, those referring to the deities, and those which treat of the soul and are contained in the concluding proportions of the Veda, in other words, Vedanta. So, another one must always be thinking of and discussing the scriptures in relationship to what is proper activity, in relationship to the Lord, and all the different how he acts in the whole creation and the whole cause, you know, the whole material world and the whole spiritual world. Then ourselves as the soul, as servant of the Lord, what is our position, our relation, how we're not connected with the material world, and then the concluding portions of the Veda, which is the Vedanta, in other words, the philosophy. So in other words, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, thinking of the Lord himself, thinking of us as his servant, and what are proper duties, what are our duties to be done, you know, sacrifice. In other words, the preaching mission and the different activities of sadhana and varnashram that apply to us. So that should be the constant discussion of the sannyasi. But here it's mentioning also is that we can understand someone who wants to go back to Godhead. This is for anybody. 84. That is the refuge of the ignorant, and even that the refuge of those who know the meaning of the Veda. That is the protection of those who seek bliss in heaven and of those who seek endless beatitude. Okay. So these discussions, even for the ignorant, this is the proper thing for them to be. This is what they should hear about. This is their refuge. They think it's something else, but it's this. You know, discussions about the Lord, his expansions, his activities in the spiritual and material worlds. The position of the soul. How he's not part of this material nature and he's a servant of Krishna, and the proper performance of sacrifice. So for the ignorant, then those who know the meaning of the Veda, this is their refuge. Then it is the protection of those who are interested to go to heaven, right? And for those who seek endless beatitude, then which would normally be thought of as the jnanis, but endless means can only mean the devotees. So, in other words, this is topics for everybody. The ascetic, that should be the main discussions, but these are also the should be the main discussions for everybody else. But until they get to that platform, then they may discuss more on the sacrifice or more on other aspects. But the purpose is to come to this platform of discussing these things, where one is always discussing the philosophy, the Lord, ourselves and its practical application. Right? The philosophy has to be practically applied. In that application, there's the Lord and ourself and the material nature. So we have to know